Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Top Flight Pod. You know what it is. You know what we're here to do. Back in studio today, beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm with the boys. We got Bali here to my right. To my left, my G Scott is making his debut in the studio for the Top Flight Pod. Now, you might recognize the name. I tag him all the time when he does the What You Need to Know. So I'm eternally grateful to this person next week because he bails me out from writing the match preview articles. Takes a lot out of my plate. My G Scott, welcome to the show. Off camera, off screen, on the ones and twos, as always, controlling the background, we got My G Primo and quality control, My G B. He's going to be giving us grades on how we do, so everybody better be on their toes. He's back there being the hall monitor. Shout out to My G B. And Alvaro Dini, he says that he loves the shows with the live audiences. Well, guess what? We got the topic and stat contributor himself back in studio today. Eric, the Man United fan, looking great in a faded black T-shirt. Thank God you're not on camera,
are you
bro.
Crying? Why are you crying, bro? No. Oh, okay.
But Bali, starting off with you, bro. Really nice hat. I'm loving the fit. Shorts again.
Yeah.
Bali, that's like your trademark outfit. Yeah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm blessed, man. I'm happy to be here. Not too happy with the result last night, but you know what? We'll take it. But I'm happy to be here. And happy to talk some food.
It's 50-50. I'm hearing mixed takes, but hey, that's why we're here to talk about the result of Austin and some other European headlines. It's Top Flight. But I want to introduce the man here to my left, My G Scott. Like I said a little moments earlier, you take a lot out of my plate, bro, and I'm thankful to have you on this team. Your match previews are second to none, and I think the whole community appreciates what you do for Wear Austin TV and for everybody out there. So, Scott, welcome to the show, bro.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me in studio.
Put the mic a little closer. There you go.
Thanks for having me. The studio looks great, and it's good to be here.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You got a Man United jersey?
I do. I had to represent the women's team when the Women's FA Cup for the first time in their history.
Nice, big ups.
So I had to try to celebrate the one team that's winning things.
Hey, shout out to the Man United ladies doing what the Man United men cannot do.
Hopefully they do it in a couple weeks, but...
Nah. I don't think so. Hopefully, right, Eric? Hopefully.
Hopefully, just like how Arsenal can win the league on the last match day. That's a lot of hope. Hey, my G, sorry, I didn't mean to throw that dagger in there. But Primo, welcome to the show, mate. How are you doing? Let everybody know what's up in Primo's world.
I mean, I'm doing okay. You know, Real Madrid celebrated their 36th league title today. Amazing pictures.
It's so hard to be a Real Madrid fan.
It is. I mean, but man, it just looks so fun out there. I wish I could have been out there celebrating with all those fans. But yeah. Pretty good day. Mother's Day today.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Primo. Happy Mother's Day. You know, everybody here in the studio right now has a mother. And shout out to those ladies for pushing y'all out, or if it was C-section, whatever. But if that wouldn't have happened, you guys wouldn't have been here right now talking with me and talking to everybody that's out there listening. So shout out to all the mothers out there. Feliz Día de las Madres on Friday. Mexican moms have 2 days that they can celebrate. So boom, right there. Latina moms. We can go at that. But, yeah, we're here to talk about the Austin FC game. Of course, some European headlines that are going to be touched up on at the end of this episode. But, of course, starting off with Austin FC and Dallas. But before, I do want to send a shout-out to everybody that's on Discord. Shout-out to everybody that's on the Patreon. We just got a new member. Shout-out to MyG. His name on Discord is Essential. Essential. Now, I got to meet him outside in Q2 Stadium, took a photo. He posted it on his story, and he was like, yo, this is a great dude. And it just makes me happy to have people like that in the community that – see me as a great dude, and it's cool. It's cool to know that people out there appreciate what we do, you know. But on that note, let's get into the episode. Austin FC 1, FC Dallas 2, a defeat that had positives in it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, it was a disappointing defeat on the road for players, coaches, and fans, especially those who made the trip up to Frisco, up I-35. Austin FC, unfortunately, could not come back home with the result, despite coming into the match with better form, and yes, also being the best team on the night. Austin is still winless in Frisco, and Jesus Ferreira is still scoring on Austin FC. He gets to celebrate 50 MLS goals after vaccinating Austin FC with his goal one-on-one versus Stuver. Now, Drusy, he does make a mistake early on, and the defense was caught upfield, if we're being real. And that was enough to send Austin FC down I-35 with nothing, but hey, we did all right. So on that note, Bali, you said a couple minutes ago that you weren't too happy with the result. What was your overall thoughts on the match, brother?
Not happy with the result. You know, a defeat is a defeat, and we never want to lose against Dallas. You know, that's a rivalry. And we didn't, I mean, it was an okay game. We didn't play too bad. Mm-hmm. But the Drusy mistake just put us on the back foot way too early. And I think that eventually that hurt us at the end of the day. And he has to take it. He has to own up to it.
It is going to be a big talking point on tonight's episode of Bali. But real quick, I just want to ask you, it was something that when we went back and forth, especially with my G Brad on the Twitter space last night, he was saying, hey, I'm treating Drusy with kid gloves. I mean, how are you going to go about this mistake that Drusy committed? You know, are you kind of just like, hey, he's going to bail us out, or are you really going to butcher this guy?
Well, he has to own up to it. You know, he's our DP, he's our captain, he's our guy. So
100%.
When we're looking for somebody to bail us out, it's Drusy.
And 100%.
Last night he hurt us. So I still back him. After the match, you could tell that he was very, very hurt about the situation, yeah, and affected him.
Yeah.
But we have a great opportunity during the week against Houston to bounce back, and 100%. I expect to bounce back.
I like what you said there, Bali. That is 100% true. Now, Scott, I want to shift focus over to you, mate. Your overall thoughts on the match last night. Still can't beat Dallas in Frisco. Still can't stop Jesus Ferreira from scoring on Austin FC. I believe either he tied Pepe or he jumped Pepe as the guy that has scored the most goals on Austin FC for FC Dallas. I think they were both on 5.
It wasn't Pepe, it was somebody else. Pepe surprisingly only has like 2.
Really?
Yeah, shocking. But it is one of those things of like, you know, Austin retained possession well, and they got a lot of shots on goal. A lot of the complaints that fans have had were answered. The problem is that the biggest complaint is getting the result, and they didn't do that.
Yep. And really on that note, we were mentioning before we started the podcast how Austin FC is finally playing well away from home, and you said it right now. It's what fans have been asking for, what pundits on national TV have been saying, that this team is poor away from home. Last night against Dallas, we saw what could have been perceived, what could have been kind of, you know, if you're like a neutral, you don't know who's home and who's not. Austin FC could have been the home team last night by the way that they were playing versus Dallas in their stadium.
Oh, absolutely. Austin did a better job of retaining possession. And some of that was a function of giving up the goal early and Dallas being comfortable, you know, defending deep in numbers and trying to hit on the counterattack. But, you know, even without the goal, that's how Dallas would have played anyway. Because that's just kind of like their modus operandi, and also why they've, you know, last night they led, you know, basically the entire way. And that's longer than they've led the entire season leading up to this.
Interesting stat, Scott. Now, if you could kind of just break that down for the folks that maybe that flew over their head a little bit. What is the deal with that Dallas lead stat?
So Dallas has only led 11-11 for 5 minutes leading into this game.
Uh-huh.
And they had a lead for, I think, like 35 minutes against Houston after Houston had a player sent off. They led for, like, I think 15 minutes in the U.S. Open Cup. So they led basically like last night they had a lead longer than they had all season. You know, this is a team that was at the bottom of the Western Conference coming into the game.
Yep.
They were last in goal scoring in MLS leading into it. And so just giving up that goal early, especially so cheaply, like, really is such a bad result for a team trying to be in the playoffs.
So cheaply. And you know what? We were talking about Drusy. Bali was saying that he needs to own up to it. Well, he talked with Alex, Football Critic, our very own, after the match in Dallas. And we'll talk about that here in a bit. We got to get some match ratings that Primo has up for us. But the exclusive, what Drusy had to say, we'll talk about the here right now, the exclusive with We're Austin TV. It's up on Instagram. You'll go ahead and check it out by now. But some match ratings real quick, Bali, and I want to get you on this. John Gallagher, 7.4 match rating. Cascante with a 7.5. Brendan Heinsich, 7.0 match rating. Guilherme Biru with a 7.0. Alex Ring, the DP player, he gets subbed off. 7.1 match rating for him. Danny Pereira, I was seeing a lot of conversation on this guy. He's going to be somebody that we're going to talk about here tonight. 7.3. He sees, a yellow card. Moving forward to the attack, Hader Obrion, a lot of eyes were on this guy, and he seemed like the most quiet Austin FC player of the night against FC Dallas. Could it be maybe that this team knew him very well? Was he just psyched out because it was just a bit of a mental battle for him going to the stadium where he used to play? Now he's playing against them. Who knows? We didn't really get to talk to him. Laura Gallo got to speak with him. We'll see if there's any information there. Sebastian Drusy, 7.2 match rating. A guy that is going to be talked about a lot tonight on this podcast episode. 7.2, he gets a goal. Other than that, he had a Rabona half assist. It could have been, would have been fantastic. But hey, we're here saying what would have. And like my mom always told me, el hubiera no existe. The would have doesn't exist. And then Emiliano Rigoni with a 6.8 match rating. Point blank range, misses, and then Jesus Ferreira moments later scores the second goal for Dallas. And it just makes me think about what my dad always, this is like a parent lesson episode, but my dad always told me when I was a kid, he used to say, the goals that you don't take advantage of are the goals that they score against you. is goles que no haces o goles que no vuelven is pretty much what he always put into my head. And it's true. Rigoni had chances to level it up. He does not. And Ferreira is a guy that is not wasteful in MLS at all. Now, Diego Rubio, last guy I'll talk about match rating wise, 7.0 for him. Bit of a quiet night. I mentioned on the space last night that I really wish we had Diego Rubio when he was younger. Maybe a couple years ago, would have been a monster with this team. He's still a monster today, but he just gets a little tired too quick for my liking. And I'm wondering if it's because he's huffing and puffing, talking crap to a bunch of players throughout the field, that he just uses too much of his oxygen and it just takes the wind out of his sails. You know, I guess you could say that. But Bali, before I go to my G Scott, you see some player ratings here. We took the L, but if you can give me a top performer for Austin FC last night, who was it?
Oof, that's a tough one. I would have to say I really liked John Gallagher's game last night. Gallagher was a very Vito also Vito shot outside the box.
Vito
it's
shot?
A threat.
Vito shot?
Be ready. I'm expecting another goal. Just like that one goal we had at Q2. But, yeah, I would just say Gallagher and Beto had great games. What I see with the low ratings, Jader and Emiliano Rigoni, it's just we didn't see much about them. Rigoni, what a miss. I mean, if you finish that, honestly, I think we come back and we get something out of this game.
And you know what, Bali? You say if he finishes that, I'm having trouble to think which one, because it was multiple chances, bro. There was multiple chances. And although some were more clear than others, I'm talking about the cross in and he's at the back post by himself and he just waffles it. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the one where we both
He has to finish that. If he finishes that, we might get something out this game.
100%.
But like you said, Freda goes back the other way and finishes.
Now, we'll get into post-match comments, but Valencia, he says the luck wasn't with Austin FC in scoring a goal last night. Now, Scott, Bali mentions how Biru hits the post. The game could have changed if goals go into the back of the net. Josh Wolf says it all the time. Goals change games. But same question. If you could give me a top performer from last night for Austin FC, who would you give it to?
No, I thought Biru was really strong while he was out there. Unfortunately, he came off with an injury after the Ferreira goal. Unclear if that was on that play or not. I thought Alex Ring played pretty strongly as well in the center and midfield. Mm-hmm. I want to like what Obrien and Rigoni did in terms of like their positioning and their kind of interplay, but at the same time, like they're attackers, and if they don't score goals, it's not really a good game for them. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have like some wide open misses like that. I'm kind of surprised to see Diego Rubio have such a high rating.
Oh, okay.
Just because I don't recall him having that many chances besides like one or two. And then the really surprising one is just to see, you know, Stuver down at 6.6.
Yeah.
I mean, he only had one save, which is just a really low number for him.
Now, real quick, Bali, I want to get your take on this. My G Scott brings up Brad Stuver. I kind of skipped over him earlier for a reason, on purpose. People follow me here. I got points to get to. The record last night. He was 22 minutes away from having the record for 2024. However, due to a Drewsy mistake, which we're going to transition to here in a bit, Stuver concedes minute 3, minute 4, and everybody floods social media. There goes the record. There goes the record. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, what was going through your head? Were you really thinking about that record, or was that kind of just secondary in your head?
Yeah, when I saw that goal go in, I felt bad for Stuver because he deserves it.
He really did.
And, if I'm Stuver, I'm ignoring Drewsy this whole week and training. Honestly, I'm not talking to him. And
bro, I'm drinking coffee.
So that's true. I would be hurt. I think Stuver deserved that record. And I feel bad for him.
Scott, I want to ask you the same thing. I mean, Brad Stuver was just 19, 18 minutes away from his record. Unfortunately, Musa says, uh-uh. And he sees his record shattered.
Yeah, no, it's sad because Stuver does so much work that doesn't get appreciated enough, especially by the national media. Having that kind of a record gets him a lot more attention for what he's been doing here. It's also just a sign of, like, how hard it is to get goals past Stuver, that you basically have to have like your DP one-on-one with him to have any chance of scoring.
And one thing that really just kind of bothered me when the ball went into the back of the net and we knew that the record was now gone for the moment, because it is only a 2024 record, so you can still go on and get it back, right? Or at least try to get it back. But this would have really helped Stuver's claim for an all-star spot this year. And me, myself, I have plans with Golds TV. Shout out to my boys. We want to go to All-Star Weekend and create content outside and interact with all the fans that are going to be traveling out there. And it really would give me a reason to go out there. I'm probably going to go, but it really would give me more of a reason to go out there if Brad Stuver makes the list. Because now I have the opportunity to create some content with Brad Stuver, yada, yada. So by this record being shattered right in front of our eyes, right in front of our faces, away from home, if you were there or whatnot, or if you're watching it on TV, it just kind of, it's just a little bit of a blow to Stuver's hopes.
Oh, you know? Yeah, 100%. And, like, when you look at, like, all the stats, like, he's having such an amazing season.
Yep.
But to really get noticed, you kind of have to get those, like, records or the recognition for, like, the clean sheets. Like, yeah. the team performances as a keeper to really be able to do that.
Now, Bali, before we transition into some post-match comments, I mean, do you still think Brad Stuver is one of the leading runners for the All-Star spot? Maybe not the first keeper, but how many keepers get picked up, Scott? Do you know for
three,
the All-Star?
I think three or two.
It's three or two?
It's three, and I think the coach gets to pick one.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, for you, Bali, where do you think he's still in the...
Yeah, this changes nothing, man. Stuver's such a great keeper and great keeper around the league, and he deserves it. Hopefully we see him there. And I'm expecting to see him there.
Okay. Now, real quick, just to mention the substitutions that were used. All of them were used. Coach Wolf said, hey, everybody, vámonos, arre. Jean Kolmanich, he comes on for Guilherme Biru. Scott, you mentioned there could be some discomfort. It was also mentioned on the Apple TV stream last night. I was listening to Spanish and English. The Spanish commentators love Dani Pereira. They love Pereira, especially leading up to Copa. I'm sure it's a big talking point. But Kolmanich comes on for Biru. Was it minute 58? Owen Wolf, a guy that was talked about a lot during the week leading up to this game. When is he not talked about? He's the sub used for Alex Ring, minute 65. Zardes comes in for Rubio. A lot of these substitutions are kind of predictable. And then Joan Valencia for Dani Pereira in the 74th minute. And then Calvin Fodry, you might know him as CJ Fodry. He is a substitution that is used to bring out Jader Obrion in minute 74. So those were all the subs used. Unfortunately, nothing was brought back down to Austin from Frisco. So, Primo, if you could bring up the post-match comments that we have on IG, I will read the ones from Dani Pereira that we got from Phil West, Verde Substack all day. Dani spoke to the media after the match. So this is what Dani had to say, boys. Quote, it motivated us to support Seba and watch his back. He saved us millions of times. It was an error, but they happen. More will happen. We just have to keep going. It didn't make us sad or anything. We just kept going. I believe this is still Dani. He says, he's our best player, our captain, our best player, our soul. Everything goes through him. When we have success, they're usually because of him. So he knows. He knew right away he made a bad pass. When you make a mistake at your job, you know you fucked up and just got to move on. I tried to not say anything to him because I know he knows, so just move on real quick. Like, switch the page and score again. Go get a goal, and you forget about it. I'm sure that was Dani, but it could be Wolf. I need to double check, but if he dropped the F-bomb, probably Dani. Probably Dani, right?
I have a tough time imagining Josh dropping an F-bomb.
I expect anything from Wolf now. But Bali, I do want to get your take on what we hear Dani Pereira say on Drusy. We were mentioning how fans were very critical of him, saying, hey, we need to hold this guy to the same standard we held Kip Keller, the same standard that we hold Rigoni when he messes up. What do you think in detail of what Dani Pereira had to say on Drusy's mistake before we hear from Seba himself?
Well, I'm happy that the guys know that, you know, that they backed Drusy and they were there for him. I mean, look, Drusy knows he made a mistake. Are we going to see this again? Maybe, but I doubt it. I mean, the guy is a great player for us.
100%.
One of the best players around the league. So I have trust that he will bounce back and he will give us a great moment.
Now, Bali, you say he's one of the best players around the league. He's also one of the top paid players around the league.
Yeah,
does it time. Bother you that a schoolboy mistake can happen to a guy that earns this much money? Or you think it's an off day, bro?
I mean, of course it bothers me, you know, because he has to be on it. But it was an off day. I'll give him a little break because he has been very, very good for us and he's been key for us this season. So I'll give him a little break, but this can't be continue. 100%. He has to step it up and bounce back.
Now, before I get Scott's thoughts on what – Scott's thoughts. That's like Michael Scott's thoughts. office. Anyways, I was trying to break this down to my girl at home, and I was trying to tell her, like, man, everybody's coming after Drusy. I'm the only one backing him up. And I was trying to break it down so she could understand where I was coming from. And I told her, I was like, babe, imagine you're at work, and you know you're a good worker. You know you could run the entire floor, the entire shift. And you mess up one time, would you want people to rag you for the next couple weeks because you made the one mistake, but you know you're a badass at your job? And she was like, oh, okay, I kind of get where you're coming from now. And that's how I see it. At work, I might mess up. I might mess up. I might, you know, I might cut a wire too short. I might bend a pipe that has a kink in it, but I'm not going to do it again because I know that I can't fuck it up. You know what I'm saying? So I for me, this is my take. I'm not going to butcher. I'm not going to kill Drusy because I know that he's going to come back and probably repay it in double his debt is what I'm trying to say. This guy has money in the bank with me is what I'm trying to say. Now, Scott, I was butchered. I was cooked on social media for having that exact take. Brad came after me. Vanilla Mexican made his stupid memes, as always. It is what it is. But pretty much folks were saying, hey, you're handling Drewcy with baby gloves. Stop it. He himself has asked for criticism from the fan base. He says he misses the criticism from Argentina. If this happens while he's wearing River Plate colors, I'm sorry to say, but maybe more things happen.
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
Yeah, destroyed.
So am I wrong, or should folks kind of see this as like, yo, let's back off on Drewcy? Where do you stand with this?
So I don't think either of you is wrong.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, is that we have seen Drewcy play incredibly well since he came here. He's been, you know, the captain and the talisman and the highest paid player. He's
El crack.
Leader. You can tell that he's a leader based on, you know, the other Danny's comments about him and the way he owns up to the mistake after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is also that, like, we've watched him play enough to know that this is a one-off mistake.
100%.
This is not something that's going to keep happening.
100%.
And to bring it back to the Kip Keller argument, which isn't really an argument, part of the reason why we remember that isn't just because of that goal that he gave up.
Yeah.
He also gave up another goal in that game. He was the one who didn't play the offside trap correctly. He's the one who got beat in the box by Klaus to give up the final goal.
I remember
and
that.
There was no like buildup of like Kip having a reputation of being like the guy to where that he should be, you know, given a pass of like, hey, you know what? This is a one-off. Like, we understand that you were a great player and like everybody mm-hmm. makes mistakes. Everybody does. It's just a fact of life. But to treat those two players the same just kind of,
they don't really match up for me.
Yeah, it just doesn't it misunderstands like what those players mean to the team as individuals.
Maybe Eric can understand it like this. I mean, are you gonna butcher Garnacho the same way that you would butcher Casemiro? Probably not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how I'm seeing this. That's how I'm seeing this, bro. But let's hear what Drewcy has to say, because thank you, Drewcy, for your
thank
time.
Thank you, Drewcy, for your time.
Look, bro, honestly, I was surprised that Drewcy spoke with Alex.
Yeah,
whenever Alex sent us a message like, yo, I got to talk with Seba, that shocked me. That really made my whole night, because this is a guy that we know he doesn't really like to talk to the media. But, Bali, you were mentioning it earlier, he has to own up to it. He owned up to it.
Yeah.
He spoke to the media. He saw Alex. He might know Alex is part of us. He might know Alex, you know, is going to post this later on WAATV, is going to make it onto the Top Flight Pod. And, you know, I know some players have maybe labeled We're Austin TV as negative media at one point in Austin FC's history.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to report what happens in these games. So Drewcy steps up to the plate. He owns up to it. And he says this, quote, on my part, it was obviously a mistake that has never happened to me. And it was hard for me to get it out of my head the whole first half. Scott, you were mentioning how you don't think this is ever going to happen again. Drewcy's thinking, yo, this has never happened to me. What the hell is this? So, you know, it kind of just goes, you know, with the fact. And Primo, I think there's another quote slide. If you can click on that and go to the next one. One more time after that one. He also says this. Drewcy says, quote, I think we had a great game. We go home with the defeat. But overall, within the game, we generate a lot of goal-scoring opportunities. Now, the video goes on. The captions are in English, even though he spoke in Spanish, and you can see what Drewcy says there. Scott, before I get your take on what Seba says, I'm wondering if that's a hairstyle or if he just got out the shower and he's like, fuck it, like we're just going to go. And in the first video, it looks like he's a little frustrated to speak with Alex because he gives him like the face. But it is what it is. Y'all can be the judge about it. But Scott, your take on what Drewcy had to say post-match.
Okay, first of all, it's both. That's an intentional hairstyle. He's trying to go for the messy post-shower bedhead look.
Okay.
That's 100% intentional. And secondly, like, this is what you want from your captain. You want somebody who's going to be accountable for his actions on the field and not, you know, hide away from questions or anything like that.
Yeah.
And really talk about moving forward as a way of, like, motivating the team.
100%.
I mean, I would disagree with a lot of goal-scoring chances, just in the phrase a lot. But, I mean, you can't argue that they didn't, you know, retain possession and get shots on goal and create in ways that, like, we haven't seen them do on the road.
True. Now, Primo, if you can bring up the Valencia post-match quotes real quick before we get into the highlights, I do want to read what Valencia had to say post-match. Spoke with Alex as well. He tells We're Austin TV, quote, we didn't have luck with scoring today. I think we played one of the best matches of the league so far. The team in general played very well. We had great ball control. There's another slide, Primo, if you can click to that one. Valencia, very nice smile. Very happy that he got to speak with Alex. Alex loves this guy. Valencia also says, nothing, simply rest, which is the most important thing, having all the players rested and ready for the game and wait for Wednesday. We're going with the mindset of winning. Now, this was him talking about what the team needs to do in order to correct the mistakes versus Houston midweek. And what I got from these comments, because we also spoke with Zardes, we spoke with Julio Cascante, Valencia, Drusy, and also CJ Fadri, although they didn't all make it onto social media. They're all on the Discord chat. All the guys were saying, like, yo, guys, we played a great game. We played the way that coach wanted us to. We created 20 shots. Five of those were on target. It was at 20-25%, Sky. We talked about it earlier. I don't know why I didn't mention that number. But, you know, the guys know, hey, we created opportunities. We're on the road. We did what we had to do. It's just two mistakes. It's unfortunate. And they lost the game. But they know. They know 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, there's nothing in these comments that makes you think that, like, we had wildly different actions of what we saw in the game. They played well. They retained possession in ways that they normally don't. And there's a lot of positives to take away from it.
Now, Primo, if you could click on Cascante, and that'll be the last quote edit that we'll read before we get into some of the highlights. And Bali, I'll get your take on what Julio had to say. Very nice haircut, Julio. This guy is always tip-top shape. He says, quote, despite everything, we've worked very hard on the defensive side. Since preseason, emphasis has been placed on the defense, and I'm not referring only to the back line. And this is him talking about, you know, the emphasis that they place on defense in the preseason. He also goes on to say, quote, I think it's the work we've done throughout the preseason. And if you look back, I think any player who comes in, you can't tell the difference. Now, this quote is about working with Brendan Heinzeich. Alex asked him, like, hey, it was a bit of a surprise that both of you guys, you know, work so well together. What do you think is attributed to that? You think it's characteristics from Brendan Heinzeich? You think it's the way that he plays? And Julio says, I think it's the work that they've put in, because he mentioned how he missed Houston and Hedges played and they got the win. So Julio's pretty much saying, like, we've worked so hard on the defense that you could take anybody in or out and we'll still perform the same. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the work that they've put in on defense, because early on this season we were saying, where's the emphasis that Wolf was talking about? And we're seeing it. You know, it was two mistakes. Right, it was two very bad mistakes that ended up giving Dallas the win that cost Austin FC the 3 points on the road. But the chances created in the attack, the recent defensive performances in other games just really make me happy and want to make me look forward to what this team is going to deliver this season. You know, I'm not expecting the MLS Cup, but at minimum, it is playoffs. At minimum, it is playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, anything you want to add on that, Scott?
No, I think you're right. Like, I think making the playoffs is absolutely the minimum. I think Roto's even kind of mentioned that in terms of, like, judging both the team and the coach. And it is just nice to see, like, an Austin team that looks much more cohesive defensively.
Yep.
You know, yes, they gave up, you know, two goals last night. But what we've seen previously in games, like, they are limiting other teams' chances.
100%. Now, Bali, anything you want to add on what Julio Cascante had to say post-match to Alex?
No, I'm loving this back line. I think that the more they play with each other, the more they get minutes with together, the confidence is just building and building. And, yeah. I'm loving this back line. I think, yes, there was mistakes. And even the players know, with all these answers that the players are talking, they know that, you know, they had the game. We had a great opportunity to win in Dallas. Unfortunately, you know, we got mistakes, and now we have a great, great game during the week to bounce it back, and I'm expecting these players to bounce it back.
Yeah. Now, real quick, getting into some highlights. Obviously, they're just errors that led to goals for FC Dallas. Now, minute 4, Peter Musa, he gets his goal. He's on my fantasy team, y'all, so when he scored it, I was like, damn. But then I remembered, he's on my fantasy team, so how do I feel about this? But anyways, Peter Musa gets his goal after a juicy mistake, the no-look pass. We talked about it already on the pod. We talked about it at length on the space. I mean, boys, Drusy said it's never happened to him. Just real quick, Bali, 30 seconds. Your thoughts on when the exact moment happened when Drusy did the no-look pass and it led to the goal?
I couldn't believe it at first. You know, I could have I was like, it has to be Rigoni that did that. and then I saw Drusy and I was like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just unfortunate, you know. And it's so early, you know, it was minute 3, minute 4, you know, come on. It's just put us on the back foot way too early.
I mean, honestly, Bali, you mentioned how early it was. For me, I wasn't too upset that it happened minute 3, minute 4, other than the record for Stuver. That's the only reason why. But if this happened in any other match and there's no record on the line, my mindset is, yo, to win this game, we had to score 2 goals regardless. So you're down 1-0, doesn't mean anything. You need to score 2 more to comfortably win the game. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't tripping. I was like, yo, we need to get 1 and then get 1 more. And boom, the plan is still going along. But Scott, real quick, your thoughts on the mistake that led to Musa's goal?
It's one of those things that, you know, just like Bali said, like, you're just kind of like, wait, who did that? Because you just don't expect Rusi to make a mistake like that.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have that moment of like, oh, well, the defender's gonna get to it, and then you're like, oh no, he's not.
Or the last one is like, eh, Stuber got it.
Yeah, or Stuber's gonna Stuber get got it. It, and then you're just kind of like, oh, and then you just have that moment immediately of your outlook on the game completely changes.
There was three uh-ohs in that scenario. The one where you realize it's Drewsy, the one where you realize Peter Musa's one-on-one, and the one where you realize Stuber is not invincible.
Yeah.
He's not invincible, guys. I'm sorry. I know I wish he was. Personally, I think he's better than De Gea. Oh, but
wow.
They're not invincible. They're not invincible, but okay, gentlemen. Now we're moving on to the other highlight here. Minute 8, Iyarramendi fouls Dani Pereira outside the box. Now, Scott, you were saying that this could have been a red card. You were saying it should have been a very harsh double yellow card. Bali, I know probably you were fuming when this was happening. I was fuming because I would have let the play go on. Emiliano Rigoni is now one-on-one against the keeper. He still shoots it. It goes into the back of net, but the keeper's not even trying. That could have been a red card. It should have been a goal for Austin FC. The play went on. But, Bali, just real quick, your thoughts on the Iyarramendi foul on Pereira.
Yeah, the referee should let it keep going. You know, Rigoni scored.
Yep.
But the way Danny reacted after, you know, look back, hey, the way their players reacted, it kind of forced the ref to blow the whistle.
That's a good take.
So, you know, it is what it is. We'll take it. The free kick was... Yikes.
That's a good point because I saw half of the players saying, hey, let the play go on. And I saw half of the players doing the little card motion. So it is what it is. Now, Scott, any take you want to drop on the Iyarra foul?
Yeah, I mean, one, like the referee completely screwed up and not playing advantage. I think the player I always look at is what Alex Ring thinks because I think he generally just has like better idea of what's going on the field.
Yeah.
But also, like, I think it easily could have been a two yellow red card because he grabs the back of the jersey clearly and then there's at least a second or a beat and then yanks him down horse collar style, which is an illegal move in every sport basically. So I really
flag on the play, throw it.
So I think a stricter or like more or just like a different referee, like Ted Uncle definitely would have sent him off. Same with like Martin Atkinson, like those guys, like the guys who like being the center of attention, 100% he gets sent off.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
And so I think he was kind of lucky because you watch that and you're like, that definitely looks like more than a yellow card.
What was the bigger referee mistake to you? The one in the Champions League semifinal that sent Bayern home or the mistake on Dani Pereira not giving him the red card? What was a bigger referee blunder?
I mean, you have to say the Champions League one just because of the stage.
I disagree 100%.
Yeah, you would.
I mean, you also said that Stuber's better than David De Gea, which I still can't get over. I'm going to be stuck on that. The same way Drewsy was stuck on his mistake the entire half, I'm going to be stuck on that the entire rest of the podcast.
Maybe I was reaching on that one. My bad, Eric. My fault.
No, tomorrow you're just getting nothing but YouTube clips of like great David De Gea. I'm just going to send them over and over.
Bro, again. this whole month, I've been getting cooked left and freaking right, bro. Honestly, it is what it is. But anyways, minute 56, Ferreira and... What a jump from minute 8 to 56. Minute 56, Ferreira's goal. After he sneaks in behind the defense, was it a Dani Pereira mistake? That's me saying it. A lot of folks don't really see it like that. But to me, Dani compromises Jader Obrion. He loses the ball in a double team action. Peter Musa plays Jesus Ferreira into the back line, sneaks in behind Austin FC's defense. I believe Biru was the one that was keeping him on. Scott, you mentioned that. Biru gets subbed off right after. Was it an injury or was it because Josh Wolf was just so pissed? He was like, dude, get off the field, man. You can't. It's a consistent thing with Biru, bro. He cannot hold the line. It's a consistent thing with Biru. And Alex, my G, I love you, bro. Last time you said that I need to put respect on Biru's name. I'm not seeing it yet. I'm not really fully seeing it yet. He has good moments in the attack. He hits the post. But on defense, Biru, I need you a bit more stronger. Just a bit. But real quick, Scott, talk to me about Biru's shots that hits the post.
So going back to the first half, he hits the post from the left side of the 18-yard box with his left foot. And first of all, that's an incredible shot just to even hit the post with.
Yeah.
Like, that's an incredibly difficult thing to do from there. And then you see the ball bounce out and it goes by Driussi and you're watching it like kind of in like the normal video. And it just kind of looks like, oh, it just kind of bounces by him. And then they show the reverse angle.
Mm.
And the reverse angle from the behind the goal, you realize that just like it's just by like a little bit, like a half step.
Yeah.
Or if Driussi could have gotten his foot up, like it would have just bounced in off of him.
Yeah.
And that really is like a missed opportunity and something that like, you know, you talk about like the bounces not going your way. Like
Yeah.
If we were luckier, that ball hits off of Driussi without Driussi even realizing it and just getting scores.
Valencia was spot on when he says just luck was not on their side when it came to putting the ball into the back of the net. But, Bali, I want to get your take on the Ferreira goal. He is the youngest to 50 MLS regular season goals. It pisses me off that it was against Austin. He's loving it, though, because I think he kind of has a thing against Austin FC. You could tell when he took off his shirt at Q2 Stadium. You don't do that if you show if you have love for a certain club. But Ferreira, he gets the goal. Now, do you agree with me that Danny could have played a better ball? Because you saw the replay. How did it get smashed?
Yeah, I agree. I think that Danny should have maybe placed a better ball or maybe picked another pass, kind of put Khalid on in a tough situation. But, I mean, I think that the pass by the Dallas player was a great pass.
Yeah,
opened up our whole defense. And, I mean, when Ferreira's one-on-one, I mean, you expect him to finish. I mean, he's 100%. a great finisher, great player. So.
Would you take him at Austin FC?
I would.
Despite everything?
I would never take him.
But I mean, if it was black and white, I mean, black and white, but if it was like – couple years ago.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
I really would.
I think if you're a fan of MLS, I think anybody would take this guy.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Team.
I mean, the youngest to 50 goals. I mean, come on now.
Picture. Come on, bro. This is why I don't like him, bro. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This guy out of here, bro. But anyways, we move forward to minute 84. Drusy's penalty earned by none other than Owen Wolf.
Owen. Mr. Owen.
Now, important stat, Scott brought this up to my attention as I was making my notes. Drusy missed 100% from the spot. 9 out of 9 penalties for Austin FC. But, Scott, there was another thing that you mentioned to me, and can you please tell the listeners an uncomfortable truth?
Uncomfortable truth is that Drusy has more goals from penalties than run of play this season.
Is that bad, bro, or does that just mean that he's clinical from the spot?
So it can be both. Okay. I think it's not a knock on Driussi's goal scoring. I think it's actually more of how he's being deployed and positioned, because he is being deployed deeper in the and
hell
in
of a penalty. Hell of a penalty.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the few players that every time he goes up to take a penalty, you just assume he's just going to bury it perfectly.
100%.
You know, but I think some of Austin's problems are that we don't get Driussi involved enough in the box and getting on the end of crosses or on passes in the way that, you know, we did a couple years ago. And that really is a limitation of like how many goals the team can score and how much offense we can generate.
Now, real quick before I shift over to Bali, Owen Wolf earning the PK, is that just a flop? Is it a bit of luck or is it football IQ?
I don't think it was a flop. I think he was definitely fouled.
Okay.
But it's one of those penalties of like, it's a dumb foul by the Dallas player because Owen's not facing the goal. He's not doing any kind of move to try to.
Yeah, like, he's facing away from goal.
Yeah, he's facing away. Like he's not
and he's on the edge of the box.
And he's on the edge of the box. And so like there's just no reason to foul him there.
Yep.
But he just barrels through the back of Owen for absolutely no reason. And he does get fouled. I think it's good positioning by Owen to force the player to go through him in that way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, you just have to expect that a professional defender would be smarter than that.
True. Now, Bali, Drusy converts 9 out of 9. Scott says he has more goals from the spot than an open play. I mean, is that something that bothers you? Does that keep you up at night in any sense?
Not really. I mean, great penalty taker. You know, last year he's been taking great penalties. He's been in tough situations. You know, RSL playoffs. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
oh yeah.
That he's a great penalty taker. So I give him credit. You know, I just don't give him credit for the mistake, you know.
Okay.
We can't be doing that anymore, Drusy. Come on now.
Okay. Now, real quick, before we just finalize with some match takeaways, Primo, I do want to ask you, mate. We mentioned how Drusy is 9 out of 9 from the spot. Scott said that he's almost one of the guys that when he steps up, he's not going to miss. So I got to ask you, gun to your head, mate. Gun to your head. Who are you choosing to take the PK to save your life? Drusy? Or Cristiano Ronaldo?
Oh, my God. Come on. What kind of question is that, bro?
I know who.
Drusy, of course. I'm going with Drusy, of course, what? Bro. 100%. Give me that all day.
You need to apologize to Bicho, bro.
Hey, he is 100%, though.
He's 100%.
He is 100%.
I don't think Chris is 100%
from
the
spot. Yeah, he isn't.
It's numbers. Hey, men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, boys. Now, real quick, just to finalize Austin FC segment, it is an L, right? It is what it is. We talk about it as much as we can. Match takeaways. Austin FC dominated but lost to a poor FC Dallas that took advantage of the moment. This game is this sport is a game of moments. You know, and Austin FC had a moment at the end of the first half, didn't take advantage, and unfortunately they go back down I-35 with nothing except, hey, we played well. And then, you know, some other match takeaways that I had is the defense is, you know, just a couple mistakes away from being extremely solid. They're solid to me right now, but defense wins champions. Defense wins championships, and I think this Austin FC defense still has work to do. You know what I'm saying? So just, Scott, any match takeaways you have?
No, I agree. I think some of it is just, like, focus and making sure that the mistakes don't happen. Because that really was just, like, that was just what happened. Like, yeah. Like, being good defensively is about maintaining focus and energy the entire time. And that's something that Austin has been doing well, and last night they just didn't.
Exactly. Now, we have a couple minutes left on the Pod to Talk Austin FC, guys. Now, looking ahead, looking at the table, Bali, I'm going to bring you in on this, mate. We dropped a little bit. We were in sixth before this match, right above LAFC. Now, Austin FC falls to eighth, just above St. Louis with 16 points. Still in the playoff picture, but you want to be more in the middle or closer to the top just to feel a little safe. But the West is wild. You know, you win one, you jump up. You lose one, you drop down a lot. We did that to Seattle. We did that to Galaxy. We did that to Houston. And unfortunately, it happened to us. So you look at the table, Bali. Yeah. How much are you thinking about this right now? It's very early in the season, but you're still in the playoff picture. This team was predicted to be wooden spoon. But there's pundits. Who was it? Bradley Wright Phillips that said Austin FC is a pretender. And Bradley Wright Phillips said that Dallas and Houston would finish over Austin when all things are said and done. What do you think?
Well, I mean, right now it is early, but we're in the picture. We're around the playoff area.
Yep.
And you heard Rodo. What did Rodo say? We must make playoffs. You know, we have to make playoffs this season. So I expect the team to improve. If we do want to make playoffs and maybe take a shot in the playoffs, we have to improve this team the next transfer window. And because you could tell, I mean, yesterday we needed a killer from the bench, and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
You know, the Giazzi's artist, I mean, not that guy. Huh. Ethan Philly, I'm sorry. So
Ethan was questionable.
Yeah, Ethan. So. I mean, CJ Fardy, coming youngster.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But I'm happy with the team. Hopefully we keep improving, and we'll see what happens this
100%.
Season.
100%, yeah. Man. Now, Scott, a take on the table?
So one of the things I noticed in the table is that there is kind of starting to, like, spread out a little bit. You see, like, Real Salt Lake's up at 22 points, and then the last technical playoff spot is St. Louis with 16. Seattle beat Portland today, but they're still at 13, and there's a whole group with 11 or below. And mm-hmm. So if Austin can just kind of maintain being in that top group, I mean, the West is going to be crazy like it is every year, and, mm-hmm. you know, being hot for a week, for a month or a couple weeks will really change however you are. The hope is kind of like to stay here or to move up a little bit. And then when, you know, hopefully some summer reinforcements come, we already know Dessler's coming, hopefully he'll come,
Wingo,
you know, be able to make more of a run then.
Well, we'll see. Now, Primo, if you could please show us the matches coming up for Austin FC. That'll be the last thing we talk about for the Verde and Black. Now, we have a midweek game coming up. We talked about that in the episode. It's against Houston Dynamo, 7:30, Wednesday, May 15th. Be there or be square. Eric's going with me. We'll have a nice little date there. I'm not buying you any food there. So you better eat before getting there.
Need better sponsors for that.
Real talk. Eric is a Houston Dynamo fan, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, now you know.
Yeah.
And he was rooting for Dallas last night, which is utterly disgusting.
Wow.
But anyways, Austin FC plays Houston Dynamo midweek at 7:30. And then right around the corner, Saturday, May 18th, 7:30 p.m., you receive Sporting Kansas City at home as well. So two home games coming up for the Verde and Black. Scott, what kind of rotation are we going to see in these games?
I think we'll definitely see Austin have to rotate just out of necessity, probably more likely on Wednesday than Saturday. I expect to see Owen get a start, same with CJ Fodry. Mm-hmm. Coleman will probably start at left back with mm-hmm. Miru leaving the game early and just needing to rotate. I'm interested to see if we maintain the same center back pairing.
Okay.
Or if Hedges comes in or even Leo, who's making the bench now, at least.
Leo's healthy and he's not talked about.
Yeah, like, I feel as though, like, we've completely forgotten about him. Like, he's been off in the void.
Fuck it.
But, I mean, just by out of necessity, they're going to have to rotate some.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a Valencia start.
Okay. Now, Bali, you hear what Scott had to say about the rotation that's most likely coming up for Austin FC against Houston and then against Sporting Kansas City. I mean, do you agree with what he had to say? And also, where do you see there being more rotation, on midweek or on the weekend?
I mean, 100%, we have to see rotation in the midweek. You know, it's a early game in the midweek, you know, tired legs. I really don't want to see the back. If Beto's fit, I would start him. I really don't want to see nothing change in the back line. I want these guys to play more minutes together, feel that comfort with each other. And if he's fit, yeah, I would play him, you know, just get those minutes up and keep that connection going.
Well, Jean also has to earn that contract extension that he just
yeah,
got.
Yeah, I still don't know what happened there. I don't know why that guy's here.
I think it's the Euros. Maybe looking for like
maybe,
a sale.
Maybe.
Or for Jean. Why he was re-signed.
Also, like, there is just value in having, like, competent MLS players on your bench at a good value. And I think part of it was also, like, his contract was ending to where, like, the European clubs could start negotiating him for free at the end of the season. So, like, preventing that is good. Talking about rotation with Houston, like, Houston's going to be playing their third game in 8 days, 9 days, because they played Open Cup during the week last week.
And so Houston just beat SKC.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're going to have to rotate some, too. And so we'll probably... You know, we might not see Hector Herrera out there just because, like, he's coming off an injury. Yeah. And, like, they might have to rotate him out or do some things like that. So we might just have a very interesting.
I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of dads and a lot of uncles upset if Hector Herrera doesn't come to Q2. Because, bro, genuinely, a lot of people, when Acheache comes into town, when Carlos Vela came into town, when Chicharito came into town, when Alan Pulido came into town, people in my family would hit me up and say, hey, give me tickets for the Galaxy game. Give me tickets for the LAFC. It was always tickets where the Mexico player was at. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if Achacha doesn't play, I'll be happy. But there's going to be unhappy fans at Q2 Stadium if they don't see him. Now, real quick, final thing I'll ask. Score predictions for the Houston game coming up. Bali, I'll start with you. Score prediction.
We'll get a 2-0 win.
For Austin FC. Yeah. Despite everything that happened.
Despite everything that happened.
Play the same.
Derby, big game, home game. We're back, and the fans are going to be back.
Will there be fire underneath their... But after what happened in Dallas.
There should be a lot of fire.
Okay. Scott, same question goes to you. Score prediction for the Houston game.
I'm going to say Austin wins 2-1.
Okay. All right. Fair. Now, a lot of folks might know that I lost my personal Twitter account. I said that if Dallas beat Austin, that I would get off my personal Twitter for a month. So I'll be out of there. You'll mainly just see me on We're Austin TV. I was really confident that we would beat FC Dallas away from home. But, hey, joke's on me. It is what it is. But, all right, guys. My score prediction for Houston, and Primo, I'll get yours too. Austin FC wins it. I don't want to put a number on it, but Austin wins it. I'm not brave enough right now to put a exact number on it like these two guys. But Primo, your score prediction, brother.
I'm going to say 3-0 win Austin.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right.
Coming back strong.
Wow.
Coming back strong.
Yeah. Confidence.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Primo's takes sometimes do end up aging well.
Hopefully it doesn't go. Hopefully it isn't 3-0 the other way around,
dude.
Oh, come on.
Don't speak that into the world.
Yeah. I said Austin would beat Dallas 2-1. It ended up flipping on me. So hopefully that doesn't happen with Primo. Hopefully everything good goes on with Primo's take. So Austin plays Houston midweek. Austin SKC. Eric, your score prediction for Houston? 3-1 for Austin.
For
Houston.
All right. Now,
what a cheat.
We'll see what happens in those matches. Definitely some exciting things coming up for Austin FC. We'll see if they are pretenders or we'll see if they are playoff contenders. But all right.
Okay.
All right. Now, gentlemen, if we could move on to a couple headlines from Europe. I'll start off with the Man United kit here next to me. Now, Scott, if you could please explain why you're wearing the Man United kit in the European segment. You touched up on it earlier. But just real quick, talk to us about what Manchester United's got going on right now.
I mean, they played a match that neither team really looked like they wanted to play this morning against Arsenal and lost, which sucks because losing sucks. But at the same time, like, Manchester City is evil, and, like, at some point, like, everything that causes them to lose is good and can be enjoyed. But I'm wearing the kit in honor of the Manchester United women's team, which won the women's FA Cup for the first time in their history. United have finally started putting resources and effort into building that team up, and it's great to see. And I'm glad that it ended up in a trophy.
That's nice. Honestly, Man United, I know I give them a lot of flack. I know I throw some trolls around, some jokes here and there.
We deserve it.
I genuinely respect United. You know, this is one of the biggest, most historic teams of all time, and they're still the most valuable. Nobody knocks them out from that spot, and I genuinely have no idea why these guys are still number one. They're on top of Real Madrid as the most valuable club, according to Sportico. Austin FC, you know, cashed in at number 21, just missing that top 20. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, they was like, whoa, I didn't know Man United had it like that. And I was like, yeah, they're the most valuable club in the world, which is why it's so funny that they suck.
Yeah, you know? Well, and also, like, there was a video today, like, the roof was fucking leaking.
Yeah, it's leaking.
And you're just like, oh, yeah, this is what happens when you have owners that take, like, $2 billion out of the club. Like, I mean, also wearing this kit, like, this kit is vintage. It's the last time we won the league.
I'm looking at you, like, mate. Yeah, mate.
The club is in shambles. Like, Ratcliffe's trying to do everything he can, but, like, there's just, like, so many decades of, like, of mismanagement and Just yeah, there's
water going through the water going inside the restroom. Wait.
That should not be happening at like a top club that makes as much revenue as United.
Ronaldo was right. Ronaldo was right.
I mean, Jose Mourinho was right when he said that getting United to second was the best coaching job he ever did.
He actually doubled down on that on the podcast he did with Rio Ferdinand on, what's it called? Vibe with Five?
Yeah, yeah.
Great podcast. I love that. Rio does a great job. But he doubled down on that, and he said that people took it out of context, but if you look at the achievement, it was massive.
Yeah, no.
At the time, it was massive.
As always, Jose's right.
The special one. Yeah. Now, Bali, any thoughts on Man United? I know that they're one of your ops. Give them some words.
Look at that. It's coming down from the roof onto the field.
I just can't believe that the roof is leaking and that the restroom is leaking. Like, I just can't believe that. I mean, I'm just shocked. But you know what? Now, credit, you know, I'll give United some credit. You know, I'm a Garnacho fan. I mean, that kid is special. I mean, he was cooking our defense today, and credit to him. He better protect that kid, because that kid, he's going somewhere.
I can't see it because of the light behind.
What does it say? Cashemiro.
Okay.
That guy? I told you about Cashemiro. I told you all he wants is money. I told you he loves money. I told you about him.
Big ups to the Red Devil ladies, to the Man United ladies on their FA Cup win. I don't want to just skip over that. That's massive. But getting into the Arsenal-Man United game, that now sets up the Premier League race that'll go into the final day of the season, bro. Insane. And you know what, Eric? My bad, bro. EPL is truly top. EPL is truly the best league in the world, bro.
Yeah.
La Liga doesn't have this right now. Yeah. They just don't. Real Madrid, they just ran away with it a couple weeks ago. You know what? I'm going to own up to it, bro. It is what it is. Real Madrid today celebrated La Liga. 500,000 fans were there. I'm not going to say anything about EPL anymore, bro. This league is top. Now, I'm very impressed with this fact. Arsenal beat Man United at Old Trafford, meaning the Premier League title race will go down to the final day. So, Bali, I got to ask you, who will be crowned champions? You got Arsenal, 37 matches played, 86 points. City with 36, they got 85.
It's over. You know, to me, I think it's over. I mean, yeah, I believe, but I'm also like saying the reality and the truth, and it's gonna be very, very tough for Man City to lose, especially against Tottenham. I mean, you know how Tottenham plays. I mean, they've been so poor lately, so they're not gonna do anything. They're not gonna give us a favor.
Could they shock the world?
I doubt it.
Now, it's funny because you know Arsenal and Tottenham are rivals. Why would one help the other win the league?
Exactly.
I saw an interesting tweet that said, "Remember Tottenham fans." A Premier League for Arsenal is not just for Arsenal. It's a Premier League for North London.
You think they care about that?
I don't know.
Is this like chanting SEC? Like,
it's like win it for the Big 12. No. You know what I'm saying? So it's like asking the Sooners to beat Baylor so Texas UT could win the Big 12.
It's over, and I'm accepting it, but I'm very, very proud of this team, and I know that we'll win something eventually. Maybe not next year, but the year before.
Bali, this was a possibility that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's like, hey, you could win the Premier League. You could maybe win the Champions League. But there's also a third option, is you could walk away with nothing this season. I mean, you get a top four spot, which is still massive. B has always told us that that's a trophy itself in the EPL, which it is true. It is 100% true. But, you know, how do you feel as an Arsenal fan right now? I know it's a emotional period for you, but what if you walk away with nothing?
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt, but I'm still proud of this team. I'm very, very proud. You know, I have no regrets. You know, I'm happy with this season. You know, we showed great, great skill, the way we play. Just everything about my club is beautiful to see, you know, and I'm very, very happy with this club. And, you know, we'll move forward. You know, we have a great summer. Hopefully we make great, great signings and hopefully we sign Mbappe. You never know.
Well, it's still up in the air. Yeah.
Where's he going to, honey? You know where he's going?
He's going to Real Madrid. He's going to Real Madrid. I'm sorry.
You think so?
I guess on that note, we can transition into La Liga conversation here a little bit. Mbappe officially telling PSG, Eric, you were telling us earlier how he's not, you know, going back to Paris. He's not going to the Park of Princes. He had a very emotional kind of sending off today. Keylor Navas, his name was being chanted in the PSG stadium as well, which is really beautiful. A lot of I saw ESPN Costa Rica post about it, which is pretty magical. Keylor Navas, bro, I mean, he was compared to Ochoa for a very long time, but I think that debate is settled. Keylor Navas is the best goalkeeper in CONCACAF history.
Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, bro. And I have massive respect for Ochoa. I think Ochoa is one of the best keepers of my lifetime. But when you put those two next to each other, achievements, where they've played, what they've done, Keylor Navas is just a clear favorite.
Keylor Navas is clear by
100%, far. 100%, bro. Now, La Liga, Real Madrid, they celebrated their trophy, their 36th La Liga in Cibeles. I have cousins that have been there before. They said it's really awesome. I don't think they were celebrating there as Real Madrid fans, but they were just visiting Spain, and Real Madrid had won a Champions League. And I was like, you girls don't know how lucky you are to be at Cibeles while Madrid had won a Champions League. And I was here in Austin hanging out. But anyways, they won their title. Jude Bellingham, what a season for that guy. Rodrigo, what a season for that guy. Camavinga, what a season for that guy. Rudiger. I mean, the list goes on. Incredible players, incredible season, but the job's not done. The job is not done. There's still another trophy to be won. The Champions League final is on the horizon. June 1st, Eric, your birthday. We're going to have a good time. Probably going to find somewhere to watch it. Invite some of the people that listen to the pod, some folks from the Discord. We got to find somewhere to watch it. It's going to be a movie. It's going to be a movie 100%. So I guess, Scott, I want to start off with you, mate. I mean, we're talking about Real Madrid's La Liga. We don't really got to get into them because it's not much to talk about. They were dominant this season. But focusing on the Champions League, they won their match 4-0. Luka Modric got a standing ovation from the Granada fans. It was Granada, if I'm not mistaken. While Dortmund loses by the same margin to a team that's fighting relegation in Germany. Who would you bet on to win the Champions League final?
I mean, you always bet on Madrid.
Of course.
I mean, you look at like what a massive club they are and their roster and who they have. Like, you always you bet for them because they're the evil empire. They're the people who have all the resources, who have all the players that you want, that you wish your club could have. You know, I think Dortmund is one of those clubs that, especially right now, that without being without really having anything in the league to play for, they're just trying to make sure that they're as sharp as they can be and healthy for the final. And so any kind of like league results, like not to like completely discount them, but like the league is not their focus right now. Ah. I mean, I would also say the same thing about Manchester United. Like the main thing is that we're trying to be healthy for the FA Cup final.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good take. Eric is celebrating off camera. But Primo, I want to ask you, mate. I mean, the Champions League final is coming up. I know you're going to pick Madrid. So I just want to ask you, I mean, how worried about you this Dortmund side? They might be playing dumb. They might be playing like, hey, look at us. We lost. But deep down, we got a massive performance waiting on June 1st. How are you feeling going into this Champions League match?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. Definitely a lot better than previous Champions League finals that Real Madrid have been in.
Oh, okay.
And so I feel like usually we're going head-to-head with a really good team. You know, Dortmund is good. They showed some good fight with their last game against PSG. I really enjoyed Jadon Sancho, which I think, yeah. I think Man U, man. Come on.
It's difficult.
He is
balling
out.
It's a difficult situation.
He is balling out. So I think that's probably the only guy that I would really be worried about. But overall, I hope it's just a good, entertaining final.
Now,
Eric
brought this up to me a couple of days ago. He said that this is the last just format of this Champions League before it makes that switch. It just kind of feels right for it to go to Madrid. You know, the guys, the team that has been dominating this competition for decades, you could say, all my life with Madrid. Not really all my life, you know, because I do remember fans making fun of Real Madrid fans saying, hey, you've never seen your team win a Champions League that's not in black and white. That was a big conversation before. But then, you know, the Ronaldo era, the Toni Kroos era, that all happens. And now it looks like we're at the dawn of a new era when you talk about Camavinga, when you talk about Tchouaméni, when you talk about Jude Bellingham, and now you insert Kylian Mbappe into this squad, and you're wondering, where's everybody going to fit? You now have Brahim Diaz, who is coming off of a nobody status to a, hey, I need minute status. Hey, I'm fighting for my minutes. And Guti Hernandez, Real Madrid legend, he was on El Chiringuito recently giving props to Brahim, saying, hey, this guy is going to be a problem in the near future for Carlo, a good problem, because he's definitely going to be asking for his minutes. If not, I see him being sold to a top team in maybe the EPL. He's from City. That's where we got him from in the first place. Could he make a return? Could he be sold to Arsenal? Could he be sold to Man United? They pay anything for a sack of tomatoes, potatoes. Really doesn't matter. You want to say something? Oh, yes. That interesting stat, how Jude Bellingham can win the Champions League in his home country like all the Real Madrid players have. Gareth Bale in Cardiff, Ronaldo in Lisboa.
So really good take on there. Now, Bali, just to finish up on the Champions League topic with you, mate, who do you got winning this one?
I mean, I got Madrid, of course. I think that they're built for this. This is their competition. But, you know, don't sleep on Dortmund. I mean, just they were in a tough, tough group. The group of death, you know. And then they had a great run, Champions League. They had tough games. So it wasn't easy for them. So they actually fought through and fought hard. So show respect, Hernan.
Oh no,
don't show respect.
No, show respect.
No, no, no. All you Madrid fans all around, the show respect. No, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough game. You're going to win it, but it's not
going
to be easy.
I've been telling Eric and I've been telling Alex that I'm going humble into this game. I know what can happen. I'm going humble. Primo is saying that he feels good going into this game. A final is tricky because it's just one game. Now Madrid doesn't play finals; they win them. But it's a final nonetheless. And I agree with you 100%, Bali. You got to respect this Dortmund side because they've earned everything. Nothing has been given to them. They've earned it. And although they made the final through a very easy bracket side, the real competition was on the other side. You had Madrid, Bayern, Arsenal, City. That should be where the champion comes out from, but you never know in finals. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Bro. Very true.
But just real quick, Toni Kroos is the first player in UEFA Champions League era to reach the final 7 times. And a lot of these Real Madrid players, if they win this Champions League, they will have more trophies than Barcelona's entire era. Insane. I believe Barca has 5. Toni Kroos, Nacho, Luka Modric, some other folks that have been. Lucas Vazquez, I think, maybe. He's been there for a while. But a lot of these players from Real Madrid could have 6 Champions Leagues to their name. Wow. Insane.
Wow.
Insane. Unheard of. Great stuff. But hey. Still a match to be won. Nothing is given. And, of course, I'm backing my Real Madrid side to see what they can do. Now, real quick, before we finish up the pod, the last thing I wanted to touch up on is the Liga MX playoffs that have been taking place right underneath our noses, and a lot of folks don't really talk about it. Now, Toluca, they go out. Chivas just bests them, I guess you could say. It was a 1-0 in El Akron in Chivas' home stadium. Now, in Toluca Stadium, they tied 0-0. Controversy at the end. Alexis Vega, ex-Chivas player, he was kicked out for being a drunk. Toluca, his old team, picks him up. And Vega thinks that he has the game winner, which would be the tie that I think would send Toluca into the next round.
It would have.
Yes. But it gets called back because apparently it was offsides. Now, on the other side, we had Club America tie 1-1 against Pachuca. The aggregate was 2-2. After both legs, but because America was the top seed and Pachuca came in as repechaje or the 8th seed, they go out because of that ranking list on the table. Liga MX still does that. Now, today we will see Monterrey versus Tigres, El Clásico Regio at 10:10 p.m. That's going to be interesting. The aggregate is 2-1. I believe Monterrey leads that one. And Pumas Cruz Azul, they're currently tied 0-0. That's Eric's team in Mexico. He chooses the weirdest teams. I don't know why. but they're 0-0 right now. Cruz Azul leads it 2-0, and they're probably going to go into the next round. Now, real quick, Bali, before I get your take, this has been one of the greatest Liga MX playoffs of all time, based off of teams, the championships that they've won, and the overall competition in this tournament. Some of the best players in Liga MX are currently in the playoffs. So just real quick, Bali, your thoughts on what's going on in Liga MX.
Great league. I mean, it's great teams. You know, all the big boys are now competing and fighting against each other, so it looks good. You know, I think that Chivas little by little are looking good. You know, Monterrey, great team. Tigres, you know, Cruz Azul looking good too, Eric's team. So greatly, I mean, the league is growing little by little, and it's nice.
It's definitely, you know,
more talent.
It's getting more talent, and it's just, it doesn't stop.
Yeah, it doesn't stop
growing, because this is something that we talked about on Slack recently. You know, folks were saying, like, hey, is it really true that more little kids back Liga MX than MLS? It's 100%
true. Yeah, it's 100%
true. It's 100% true. Yeah. I can go up to 10 kids, doesn't matter what school, they will have a Liga MX team other than an MLS team. Matter of fact, all my little cousins, Mateo mainly, I ask him, like, yo, do you support Austin FC? He laughs at me, bro. He's like, ha! They suck. I'm like, what, bro? You don't even know anything about the team. But you ask him about Liga MX, America fan. He knows what happens. He knows what other teams are doing. Liga MX is just more appealing to the kids. Now, I don't know what it is. My prediction is the fact that it's what's watched at home. You can see it on Univision. Yeah. You can see it on Unimas, TUDN. MLS, you got to go to Apple TV. which is very difficult. Not everybody's going to pay for that service. Yeah. Right. Now, Scott, you're a little bit of a neutral. You told me earlier you want to get into Liga MX a bit more this year. I mean, you hear us talking about this league. The playoffs are currently going on. I mean, what are your thoughts from outside in looking at Liga MX?
I mean, one of the things that's nice about their playoffs is I feel as though it always ends up being the bigger teams always end up kind of taking each other on, which is kind of nice that you get to see the showcase of, like, the most talented teams play. Most of my watching Liga MX is through, like, CONCACAF Champions Cup, kind of a thing. And me will watch those atmospheres. I'm just really wanting to try to get into it and be more knowledgeable, since we're seeing more and more crossover between that and MLS as they continue to work together. Whether or not that's good or bad, I'm not quite sure yet. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a league that is always exciting, that that people always want to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. Liga MX is one of those leagues that does get some bad reps every now and then. I told you about the Querétaro Atlas brawl that happened, and you know, that was a very terrible night in the world of football. To this day, I think that there were some casualties, although the Mexican government came out and said that there wasn't. Salma, I'd love to hear what Salma has to say on this. I know he always has something to say on what happens in Liga MX. But, you know, I'm very excited to see what plays out, who is the champion. I hope it's not America. That's B's team, Adam's team, Nolvis's team. There's a bunch of people that go for Club America. They're the team that has won the most championships in Mexico. So, you know, they're up there for a reason. And for sure, America has earned all their trophies, and they have not been given to them by Televisa, not been given to them by other powers outside of football. I'm sure they've earned it 100%. 100%. America, big ups to them. Whatever. But they will face Chivas in the next round, or is it the semifinals of the Clausura? Leg one of two will be at El Akron, and then the decisive match will be in El Estadio Azteca, which is kind of on the same level right now as Old Trafford. A lot of work needs to be done to that stadium before the World Cup. But Chivas America, that's going to be a big headline in the semifinals of Liga MX. So we'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens there. But, gentlemen, anything else that you would like to touch up on the world of football? Maybe something that we missed? Scott, or are you good, brother?
No, I think we hit over there.
I think so. The Champions League will be coming up, and we're very excited. Bali, anything you'd like to add?
I'm excited for Wednesday, and great games coming up, man. We have a bunch of finals, Champions League, you know, Man United, City. Hopefully, I win something, Eric. But I'm
rooting for you, Eric.
Hopefully, y'all do win something.
Now, before we get out of here, I hate to leave it all the way at the end, but the match just concluded 15 minutes ago. Austin FC 2, FCito, they lose 2-1 to St. Louis away from home. Sebastian Pinot gets his third goal of the season, but Jimmy, assist again. I know it's just a development league. It doesn't really matter who wins and who loses. It kind of does. But what I really care about is the development of the players, and Jimmy's developing just fine. I said earlier a couple weeks ago, if you want Jimmy, 80 mil. If you want Jimmy, 80 mil. If you want Jimmy, 80 mil. If not, kick rocks. But okay, guys, we're going to get out of here. Shout out to my G Scott for filling in for my G Alex, who was a little bit tired coming from Dallas. I understand he got in late 100%. It's also Mother's Day. He's probably with his family. Feliz Dia de las Madres. Happy Mother's Day. Shout out to Bali for being here, mate. Love the fit, as always. Eric, thank you for being here as well, mate, taking clip notes. Primo, controlling the ones and twos. And shout out to my G B QC, QC Control. He's giving me the eye, saying, yo, wrap it up. So we're going to get out of here, y'all. Have a good night. Have a good day. We'll see you soon. Thank you for listening.